have trouble finding this one. The last chapter of the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 20. By the way, if I didn't say it's good to have you, if you're visiting with us, good to have you visiting with us today. And always glad to have people come visit with us. And if you're not visiting, it's good to see you as well. Revelation chapter 22, I want to begin reading in verse number 6. Now remember, this is John. He's the only apostle left. All the other apostles have been killed. They were killed for the testimony of Christ. John was able to survive so far because he'd been put on an island called Patmos. It was locked like Alcatraz. It was an island kind of like a prison. And he was put there, and while he was there, God gave him visions about things that was when Christ walked on the earth and things that are. That's the church age, chapter 2 and 3. And then chapter 4 on through is things that are to come. And so if you're wondering what's fixing to take place, get in chapter 4 and you'll read it from there. Chapter 4 starts with the idea of what we call the rapture, of John being taken out in the spirit, a door open in heaven, a trump sounds, and he's caught up into heaven. That's what's going to happen one of these days. We don't know when. The next event's going to take place. Is there going to be a voice that cries for all the saved people? A trump's going to sound, and everybody who's saved will disappear. Right. Everybody who is not saved will be left behind. And it will happen so quickly. The Bible says the twinkle of an eye. Quicker than a wink of an eye, a twinkle. But let's begin reading in verse 6. And so John says, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Now some people think here, and you'll see this word quickly several times, and some people has come to believe that Jesus isn't coming back because he didn't come back right after this was wrote. The word quickly has two different meanings. It means that in a very short period of time, it's going to happen. And that's one meaning of quickly. In other words, I could say, I want you to do that quickly. And that means in a short period of time, I want you to get done. Or it also means that when it happens, it's not going to take but just a second. And what he's talking about here is, he says, behold, I come quickly. Somebody said, well, I had a man tell me one time, he says, whenever I see everybody disappearing, I'm going to get right with God. Nope, because when it happens, it's going to happen. He comes quickly. Now, it's been 2,000 years. Didn't mean that he was going to come just a period of time. But when he does come, and the signs and stuff we've been given, we know, those of us who study the Bible knows, that all the things are lining up. Everything seems to be aligned. So when he's going to come, we don't know. But when God gets everything fulfilled, quickly. He's not going to give a warning. He's not going to call and say, listen, you know, some guy wrote a book back in 1988. How many of you remember that book? He wrote, and he said in September 1988, Weinhardt or something, I can't remember his name, whatever it was. He wrote a book that said, in September of 1988, I believe September 14th, I believe was the day he had. He wrote, and he said, that day is the day the Lord's coming back. Nobody knows. Now the Bible says the children of light has the signs of the times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Whereas, he says, we have those things, whereas that day will not come and overtake us as a thief in the night. A thief in the night is when someone comes and steals something and goes away. But anyone who is not saved, it's going to be like a thief in the night. He's going to come, we're gone. You don't know where, you don't know how. I've heard some people say, well, it's impossible that all that happens and nobody knows what's going on. Well, there's a couple things you need to understand. Number one, God can do whatever he wants to do. But number two, the Bible says that he is going to send a strong delusion during that time. And you and everyone who is left behind shall believe a lie. And by the way, somebody said, I can't believe our media. Listen, the media is just building up to be nothing but full of lies. I don't believe nothing they say anymore. They have an agenda, and they want to push the agenda. I don't buy into any of it. But anyway, so therefore, it's going to happen. Now, another thought is this, and let me give you this, and I'll get on with this. How far away could we be if a third world war broke out? Was it you, Randy, telling me how long does it take a nuclear weapon to get from point A to point B anywhere in route? Was it you or somebody else telling me that? 4 minutes?
4 to 6 minutes.
4 to 6 minutes, any bomb can get to any place in the whole world. 4 minutes. Now imagine if some of these crazies that don't mind to blow themselves up, and by the way, when they think they're going to heaven and getting 72 virgins and so forth, and they don't care to die, what are you going to threaten them with? They get a nuclear bomb, you think they're going to be afraid to use it? When they don't mind a bit to walk in here and put strap a bomb on their vest and just pull the button and blow themselves to smithereens, you think they're going to be afraid to send a bomb over here? But now imagine this. I'm just trying to get you in mindset. The Bible talks about the alignment of nations. And he also talks about in the time in which Christ comes and gets the church and the Antichrist comes, that there will be war here. And the countries will be aligned. And there will be blood. And of course, John, in this book that we've got right here, he talks about it. He says that he saw stars fall. And then there would be a mountain of fire. And everything that he could see was barren. No greenery. All the life died. Now, he didn't understand atomic weaponry. But he sure sounds like he's describing something that looks a whole lot like it. And so, therefore, imagine this. Just imagine if God wanted to, and God can do it any way he wants to. Believe me, he's not asking me for opinion. But imagine if this Sunday morning, all of a sudden someone, North Korea, decided to send 12 atomic bombs over there or to Alaska. And we retaliated, and Russia retaliated, and China retaliated. In a matter of 10 minutes, people could disappear from this whole world and nobody know where they're at. Can you imagine? And the Bible talks about a third of the fishes in the river dying and all those things. Can you imagine the results of atomic war and how quick it can transpire? Somebody said, well, all these things will have to change. Oh, it could happen just like that. In a 5-minute period of time. Because everybody knows the moment that a bomb comes and a moment a missile comes, everybody knows it. But imagine. But anyway, whatever it may be, the Bible says that Jesus is going to come quickly. When it happens, however, it's going to happen that quick. Look, read on. It says in verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of the book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega. Now, when he talks about being Alpha and Omega, he talks about there being where he has fulfilled or the beginning and end. And he says, beginning and end, the first and last. He said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. The city he's talking about is the one he just described, the one with the streets of gold and gates of pearl and all that. If you're not saved, you'll never see it. Look in verse 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. That means that he fulfilled all the Messiah, being the Messiah, all of the laws and all the scripture that points to the Messiah, Jesus fulfilled. Then he goes on, he says, in the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star means that he is going to start a new rule. When he comes back, he's going to start a new government. He's going to sit upon the throne of David. He's going to rule on this earth. You say, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter where you are or not. That's what it means when he says he's going to be the bright morning star. He's going to start a new day. There's going to be a new day that's going to happen. And so here, the whole book of Revelation is busy describing how it's going to transpire from the disappearance of the church until Christ comes back and establishes this new day. During that time, God is going to win back his people, Israel. And even though they've been blinded in part, they will be saved as in a day. There will be some, the 144,000 will be established to go around to preach for 7 years. They'll be preaching to the whole world. We will be gone. The church will no longer be preaching. It will be the 12 tribes mentioned in the Bible, chapter 7 and chapter 14. They will preach the gospel of the kingdom. No longer will they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will preach the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is different. The gospel of the kingdom says, behold, I repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, Jesus coming back to establish his kingdom is fixing to take place. And for 7 years, they'll be going through this world and preaching. You say, well, if everybody disappears, I'll be saved then. No, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 12, that those who have not believed will be damned. All. It uses the word A-L-L. In other words, everyone who has heard the gospel message and has rejected the gospel message, the Bible says God will send a strong delusion to you and you shall be damned. The ones that will be saved is people that's never heard. And when the word goes out and the preaching goes out and these cover the whole world, there will be saved. There will be several saved. But my friend, if you're sitting here and you have heard and been convicted and drawn with the Holy Spirit of God, you will not have any opportunity of being saved. The Bible says A-L-L, that means you and anyone else who is not saved shall be damned that sat and heard the word and rejected it. And so what he's saying is, he says, I've done everything to Israel as Messiah and fulfilled that, and I'm coming back to start a new day. I am the bright and morning star. And so I'm starting a new day when I come back to the earth. And by the way, during the 1,000 years that he reigns, Satan will be bound. And the Bible says even the desert shall bloom a lot like it was in the Garden of Eden, that it'll bloom with flowers and so forth, and deserts will bloom and sing. Even the horses, Brandy, y'all like horses a lot, even the horses' hooves will sing glory to the Lord during that time. And in other words, everything on the earth will praise God. The Bible says those that's on the earth when he reigns, those that are crippled, they'll make their way to Jerusalem where he's sitting on the throne of David. He'll heal them just like he did when he was walked upon the earth earlier. He'll be able to heal the blind, heal the sick, heal the lame. And Brother Junior was talking about those that wouldn't work and so forth this morning, and wanting free rides and just expecting a handout all the time. It won't be that way in Jesus' kingdom. There'll be no welfare systems. What happened is, if you can't work, you come to him, he heals you. Then he gives you, and every family's got a spot of ground. If you read and break the New Testament, Old Testament down, and what will happen during that time, everybody will have to work with their own hands. And they will earn their own keep. And so there, during that time, Jesus will reign in righteousness. He will set right all the mess that this world's gotten itself into. Somebody said, what's this world coming to? The reign of Jesus. And then when he's through with it, he's going to destroy this old earth and make a new earth and a new heaven. And then those that are saved will reign forever and ever in those two places. Let's go read on real quickly. Verse number 17 is where I'm going to preach from. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and out of the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, that's the way the book closes. Now, let me say this real quickly. Some people says, well, I believe this. Well, I believe that. Right here, this book. You don't add nothing to it.
Amen.
You don't take nothing away.
Amen.
I've heard some people say, oh, preacher, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell. I don't believe God. You're taking it away. The same book tells us about heaven, tells us about hell. You say, oh, preacher, I don't believe God would allow somebody to spend eternity in hell. Whoa, you're taking it away. Well, preacher, I think if you're just good and everybody's good, God will look up. Now you're adding to. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. The only ones that will go to heaven is those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, nobody else. You've got to be saved. Saved by the grace of God through faith.
Amen.
And so therefore, you can add anything to it you want to. You can take anything away from it. But nothing will matter except what you've done with Christ. Now, stay with me a minute, and I want to show you a couple things. Verse 17, I want to preach from. But now I want you to notice how that he ends the book. He ends it and he keeps telling us, I'll come quickly. Now when he comes, when all these things are set in order and the time is right and it's time for him to come, he'll not announce it. I'll guarantee you they won't print it in the paper. And what will happen is he will come so quick and it'll be done. And if you're sitting there this morning, you're saying, well, preacher, one of these days, the Bible's got word for you. Behold, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He also got another word for you. He says this, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Now, stay with me a minute, and I want you to see this. Look back, if you would, in verse 17. Notice that there, God gives four invitations to us in that. The reason why is it tells us the heart of God. God wants everybody to be saved. How do I know that? His word tells us. His word tells us that he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what God wants. There's not a person ever made. Somebody said, well, that guy was born to go to hell. No, nobody was ever born to go to hell. God's desire is that everybody, all men everywhere should repent, according to Acts chapter 17. The Bible said there was a time when men's ignorance God winked at, but now God commendeth all men everywhere to repent. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, you said, preacher, I believe in everlasting life. I just don't believe in perishing. Same verse tells us both. Now you got to get with it. You got to understand. You can't add to it. You can't take what you like out of it and throw the rest of it away. When we are judged, we'll be judged according to all of it. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, I don't think you're doing this right." Well, God will take care of me when I'm there. He'll take care of you too. That's why the Bible says, "Vengeance belongs to me," saith the Lord. "I will repay." He'll take care of all. You say, "Well, how about all these people that's done all these great wrongs? I just don't understand why God lets a little child suffer and this, that." God will take care of all that in time. Trust me, He'll take care of it. And so, therefore, somebody said, "Well, so-and-so did this and got by with it." Nobody ever gets by with it. God knows all about it. But now, look on. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about a couple of things in verse 17 where he says, "And spirit and bride say, come." What they're saying come is, they're saying because Jesus said, "I come quickly," they said, "Come." In other words, the Holy Spirit says, "Come." Somebody said, "Well, why about all these people going to be left behind?" Did you know what? Every day God's grace and long-suffering goes, this world's not going to get more and more righteous before Jesus comes back. It's going to get more and more wicked. There's going to be a higher percentage. As a matter of fact, Jesus asked this question, "When I return, will I find faith upon the earth?" The Bible says in that day, many will go to destruction. Few will go to life eternal. So what I'm trying to get across to you is this: every day that God's long-suffering allows another day on this earth, more and more people are going to perish. Not because of God. This book, this chapter, this verse tells us the heart of God. He wants to give an invitation to everyone. He starts the book over in Genesis. He starts a book over there in chapter 7. Noah gives the invitation. Come get on the ark and be safe. That's a type of coming into Jesus. And all through the Bible, the whole thing, the heart of God is to come unto me. Just come. He wants you to come. And by the way, he didn't use some real deep, complicated argument. He used something that even these children understand. Come. If I say come, you know what I mean, don't you? You know what I mean, don't you? If I say come to me, you know what I mean, don't you? Even little ones understand the word come. God wants you saved so much, his invitation is come. How much simpler can he make it? Now picture this a minute. Let's go back. And now, so the Bible says the Holy Spirit, or Spirit, says come, and the bride says come. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and the bride is the church. Now stay with me a minute. Why are we saying come quickly? The Holy Spirit is because he wants to see Jesus glorified. He wants to see him establish his kingdom. He wants to see him have his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because last time that Jesus come down this earth, you know how men treat him? They spit upon him. They beat him. They hung him upon the cross of Calvary. They mocked. They laughed. They lied. When he comes back, he won't be coming back that way. When he comes back, all power will be in his hands. He will establish his kingdom. That's why he'll not only be a king and Lord, he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the Holy Spirit says, come. The faster you come, the better. The church says, come. Come quickly. Get us out of this old world. Somebody said, well, how about the lost people? As I said, there's going to be more and more lost people all the time. But again, this also, the Holy Spirit the whole time is saying, come back, Jesus. The Holy Spirit has a work down here to do. In John chapter 16, the Bible says this, that the Holy Spirit is drawing you. In John chapter 6, it says, every man that comes in the Father must be drawn by God. In other words, you are drawn, and the Holy Spirit comes in. He convicts you of sin. He draws. He come in. He said, Merle, you're a sinner, son. God sent Jesus, his only son, to die for you. He died upon the cross of Calvary, took your place that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. But you must believe in it and you must come. You remember when he told you that? And what it was, the Holy Spirit says, not only are they saying, come, Jesus, and establish your kingdom, they're saying, why don't you come? Right now, Sunday mornings, we try our best not to preach real complicated issues, because if you're here and you're not saved, I want you to know one thing, come. God wants you saved. But you got to come. And so therefore, the Bible says that the Spirit says come, and the bride says come. Our whole business here upon this earth, we fellowship, and we have all these things that we hear, we help each other as we go through on this earth, as a church. But our main job and task is this, is to tell the world, come. Come unto Him. All ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come. God says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. What God wants you to do is come. He's sent out all these things to say, come, to preach the gospel of Jesus, to come. Now, look back, if you would, in verse 17. Notice the Bible says to two groups of people, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There's two groups of people. Who is athirst? People in this old world says, listen, come. Come here and do this, do this. Oh, you'll find satisfaction, you'll find peace. But when the world's through with you, it's destroyed your life.
Amen.
And when you get so... when you get so thirsty for something and you're just beat down and sin has destroyed you, he said, if you're thirsty, you come. I'll give you a drink of water of life. I'll let you find something that you can't find nowhere else. You come. And he not only stops there and says this, he said, but whosoever will, you come too. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, I believe so. I believe certain ones are predetermined and predestined to be saved. Some, I don't." He wouldn't say whosoever if he'd already made that selection. Now he may have a foreknowledge knowing who's going to make decisions, but listen, he grants it to everybody here. You say, well, how about us? We're privileged here in America. We get to hear the gospel, and you get over in some of those old foreign countries, they don't get to hear the churches like this. That's true, and to whom much is given, much will be required. If you die without Christ, you'll suffer a lot more than what somebody will over in China. You know why? You've had a lot more opportunity. And so therefore, you've heard the invitation, and he says, come. If you're tired, if you're looking for escape this world, you're looking for something, why don't you come unto him? Whosoever will, just come. Now, knows as well something else. You say, preacher, what will it cost me? Look back. Knows the word he says. And whosoever will, let him come, take the water of life, what?
Freely.
The price has been paid. It is a gift. It's not a works. You say, how many of you ever got an offer in the mail or something? You say, boy, that sounds too good to be true. Ever do that? I've got all excited about buying something somebody going to sell. They advertise it in the paper. Chris and I, one time, we drove about 3 or 4 hours to buy a truck. I was wanting to buy, and man, I said, this is a deal. I said, does it run? Oh yeah. Gives back some. Oh, no problem. I was afraid to drive it down the lane and back. That thing was a shaky and eat up with rust and tore up. I said, what happened? This is not the picture you had in the paper. He said, well, I took a picture a little while before this. I said, a little while, probably about 10 years. I said, my goodness gracious, it don't even resemble what you advertised. We drove up, but the point is, it was too good to be true. But look here. He said, if you come, this is what I'll give you. I'll forgive you of your sins yesterday, today, and forever. That's hard to comprehend. He says, not only that, though you are sinners, I'm going to adopt you into my family. To as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave I power to become the sons of God. In other words, he said, I'm going to make you a son of God. He said, all that, I'm going to give you the moment you come and you taste of this gift and you receive this, I'm going to give you eternal life. You'll never perish. Not only that, I'm going to make it a place where you're going to go to, and it's called heaven. It's going to be a place where you never grow old. Never grow old. Aches, pains, doctors, hospitals, medicine. Never know. Sin, no more. Death, no more. Sound too good to be true, isn't it? The only difference between what Jesus offers. See, when you offer a gift, now listen to me a minute before I close. When you offer a gift, you got to have the power and the ability to give the gift. I could tell Jason there. I said, Jason, come here, buddy. I'm going to give you $1 million. Would you come? You think I got $1 million? You don't know? Oh my goodness, buddy. Well, let me how about you, Diane? Would you come?
In a minute.
You'd come in a minute for $1 million from me?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. You ain't got $1 million.
Right, exactly. I don't have the power to give it. I don't have the power to give it. I could write you a check. I went to bank one time. I heard this woman. She's arguing with the bank teller. She said, I've got to have money in there. I've still got checks left. it's amazing. She was serious. She wasn't joking. She was dead serious. And she thought as long as she had checks, she'd keep writing checks. Well, I could write a check for $1 million, but it wouldn't do you any good. But the wonderful thing about this gift is the one that promises you these things that sound too good to be true. He's got the ability to give it all of it. He can give you peace. He can give you the power to do what you need to do.
Amen.
He'll give you provisions throughout the rest of your life. He'll give you protections. He promises all those things.
Right.
Now, let me say this. There's always a catch. And there's a catch here. He says you got to take it. Even though he sits here, he says, here's the gift. I will give it to you. It is the most wonderful. As a matter of fact, Paul spoke of it. He said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What he means by that is words cannot describe the gift that God wants to give you. Through coming to him, you are saved. And it is such a tremendous gift to you as a sinner from the righteous, holy God that otherwise there's no way you could even come into his presence. But through Jesus, he's made a way and a bridge that a sinner and a holy, righteous God can come together and be reconciled. But he says there's one catch. You got to come. You got to take the gift. I could say, here's a gift. And if Kathy wouldn't take it, the gift does her no good at all. She has to reach out and take it. God is so concerned with your soul. Throughout the whole scripture, through the whole Bible, the gist of it is this. Come, please. I want to give you something. Something you don't deserve, but I want to give it because I love you so much. And I loved you so much, I sent my only begotten son to take your place. He faced the wrath of death and hell for you. But you have to come and take the gift.
Right.
Amen. And he says, now listen, I'm closing right here. He leaves this warning with us as he closes the book. Several times there, three times we read this. Come quickly. And when I do, those that are unrighteous be unrighteous still. Those that are righteous be righteous. Those filthy be filthy. Won't be no changing when I come. I come quickly. When's he coming? I don't know. But he's going to come. And when he comes, it's going to be boom. You better be ready. You say, well, preacher, I believe this has to happen before he comes back. You're a fool. Nothing has to happen before he comes back. Everything is in line for him to come. But you better heed his invitation. He ends this great book the way he began, saying, come. You want safety? You want salvation? There's only one place. That's Jesus. Can I ask you this morning, friend? Do you have him? Are you saved? If not, you need to come. That's simple. You know, preacher, I don't know if I know all that. Just come. Believe upon him.
Amen.
Come to him. Would you do? Let's give a song, brother. What page?
191.
191. Would you come? How about it?